What a privilege we have every single day of just telling the Lord that you love him. And I hope you do. I really do. Those of you who are dads, grandfathers, isn't it amazing when you maybe just get that text from your grown son or daughter or grandkids run up and say, Papa, I love you. You know how great it is to hear someone tell you that you're loved? Our Heavenly Father wants to hear us also, doesn't he? He does. I hope you tell him that you love him every single day. And I'm going to keep talking until I see something up here on the screen. Okay, guys, are we good? There we go. All right. Relevancy of Scripture in a high-tech world. We've talked all weekend. Again, I want to thank you so much for being, just coming. And ladies, I just want you to know that I did not see one man sleep one time the entire weekend. So God is a God of miracles. And And they do say, you know, preaching is the ability to speak in someone else's sleep. I do understand that. But the guys did great and listened so well. So as we finish that, the relevance of Scripture in our high-tech world. We live in a world today that you barely can walk without seeing somebody with their phone in front of their face. It is life. Is it irritating at times? Yes. Is it something that just kind of came on God and he was like, oops, I didn't know about this? Folks, this has been around for a long time, a real long time. I mean, all the way back to the days of Moses. When Moses got the Ten Commandments, what were they written on? Tablet. And where was all the information kept? In the cloud, okay? So it's been around a long, long time. But I want you to understand that the Word of God is here and it is so relevant to everything we face in life. What do you do when your 13-year-old daughter or your 14-year-old son comes and you said, Dad, Mom, please, 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 I need a cell phone. Dad, Mom, I want to have Facebook or Instagram. What do you tell them? No, not until you're 40. You know, that's what we want to say. I want to challenge us all to teach our kids to be very, very biblical in their decision-making. I like the John 17 approach where we teach them they have to be in this crazy world of ours, but we don't have to be of it. And I think it's wise at time to take them to the Word of God. So if they come to you, can I please have one of these things? Say, well, maybe. Let's think about it. And all of a sudden, they're like so excited now. What does God say? Would you quote this verse together with me, please? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished to all. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that means what? Okay, it means all. Inspiration means what? God breathed. What does God breathe mean? Inspiration, okay? Can I treat you for just a second? Like, my favorite age group is junior high. Junior high boys, they're wonderful. They're like pre-people, you know? And they're really great. They are. So I'm going to treat you all like that to get an understanding of what this means. Everybody take your hand right now, please. Put it in front of your mouth. Everybody, repeat after me. Peter picked a peck of pickled peppers. How many pickled peppers did Peter Piper pick? Did you feel that? Did you smell that? Okay. You cannot speak without breathing out. And God breathed out these words. And again, he asked his friends to write every single one of them down for us. These are the very words of our holy creator God. And he wants us to know them. How privileged we are to have these words. And they are profitable for doctrine to teach us what is right, for reproof to teach us what is wrong. They're profitable for correction, how to make the wrong right, instruction to keep it right, that the man of God, the daughter of God, your teenager might be perfect or mature. And that is our goal as parents, to encourage our teens to biblical maturity, completely furnished for all good works. So, what we're going to do tonight is I'm going to pretend I'm the parent, and I'm going to treat all of you like a teenager, okay? So just kind of envision that you're somewhere between 13 and 18 or whatever. And sometimes teens, they kind of feel like they can't win. Like mom and dad think they have nothing to offer and can't really think well, or parents say you don't understand. So it's awkward at times. And so those who are older than them, They almost feel like, what can I say? They're not going to listen to me anyway. And even those who are younger, because you parents, you go out on a date or something, you leave your 15-year-old to be in charge of the 11-year-old, and the 11-year-old, the minute you walk out the door, says to the 15-year-old, you're not the boss of me. Okay? So they can't win. If you are anywhere from, say, 13 to 20, raise your hands. I just want to see where you are. Raise them real high, okay? All right, young people, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Don't. Don't let them look down on you just because you might not be in your 30s or 40s. Don't let anybody despise thy youth. The word despise does not mean hate. It means to look down upon, to treat as nothing. But instead, I encourage you to be an example of all the believers. And when I say all the believers, that means those who are older than you and those who are younger than you. So again, if I bring you all in as 14, 15-year-olds, I want you all to be an example to your little brothers and sisters. I want them to love God as much as you love God. I want them to obey mom and dad as much as you obey mom and dad. So all those who are younger, but also all those that are older. Because you as a teen have a little bit more knowledge of this whole high-tech world that your grandparents are still texting like this. You know what I mean? If they can even find their flip phone. That's just the world that we live in. So I want you to be an example in your high-tech world in word and conversation and charity, spirit, and faith and purity. With that in mind, be an example in your digital world. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. Set an example for all believers in word, in speech, what you say. How do you talk to others in our digital world? More specifically, I'm sorry, I'm having a little problem with the clicker tonight. Cell phone holics and text monsters. Do cell phones control our lives? They're there. I recently saw a little baby reaching up trying to grab for the phone, not because he wanted the phone. He's trying to pull it away from his dad so he could look at his dad. Because even parents are glued to these things. What does God say about cell phones and texting? Let love be without dissimulation. That means hypocrisy, pretending. Hate, abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. Be kind and affection one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another, not slothful in business, not being lazy, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue instant in prayer. Now, with that in mind, let me turn this way. If we would take a simple passage like we're studying here, and you got to dig into it, mom and dad, you got to understand its context and why it was written for that purpose to that people group. And when you get a hold of it and understand it, this one passage alone deals a lot with communication. Let your love be without dissimulation. Let your love be real. Are you ignoring others or just being rude because of friend calls? Do you remember when you were talking, parents, to some other adult and the kid comes up and said, Mom, 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 Dad, Dad, Dad. Okay, don't be rude. But we let our phones cause us to be rude. Because the second it vibrates or buzzes, we pull it out. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. Immediately, that little gadget now becomes more important. Are you ignoring others because a friend calls? Hate evil, love good. Are you careful what you talk or text about? Do you complain to your friends? Do you gossip, moms, with your phone? What do you talk about? Is it honorable to God? The people that you communicate with on your phone, do they know that you really, really love God, but you really, really hate sin? And how would they know that, okay? I don't know if we need new batteries or Ben. You're going to sit there and be ready with your finger every time if I scream for it, okay? Be kind and loving by preferring and honoring others. Are you conscious of those around you? Public places, 10-foot zone, keep phone and vibrate, please. There's no place sacred anymore. None. Churches, I'll be surprised we make it through tonight without some phone going off, okay? Airplanes, oh, the second we land, it's immediate like, hey, how you doing? Yep, just landed. They don't even need their phone. They could just say it and the people would hear it in the airport, okay? And please, if you would just at least keep your phone on vibrate. Now, men, I'll have to kind of brag on you. Because you guys are almost like in the old West, you're quick draw. Because if you're in a service like this and your phone goes off, watch me, this is all a man has to do. That's it. Boom, it's off. But if a mom's phone goes off, she picks up the suitcase she carries in, and she's digging all the way through it. And then finally it goes off. Oh, good. And then they leave message and does it again, okay? And the distraction, so be conscious of those people around you. There we go. Keep a zealous, intense testimony for God. Do those you talk to know that you love God more than you love them? Do you ever witness with your phone? You put the gospel on your wall for Facebook? Do you let people know the joys that you have from the Word of God? How do you use personally the Word of God to communicate with your friends? So as we look at this passage, we don't want anyone to look down on us just because we're young. But in the second aspect, set an example for all believers in conversation, in life, conduct, and behavior. How do you behave in public? In our digital world, more specifically blogs, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, and there's probably five more that were invented this afternoon, okay? What does God say about these things? Again, would you say this passage together with me? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. If you hang with teens very much, and you get some teenage girls to get a little upset, they're not normally going, whatever. Back in Paul's day, they said, whatsoever, okay? Things do change a little bit. So when your kids come to you, and so he says, I really, really want a cell phone, or please, can I have Facebook? Can I start doing Instagram? That's where dad, you look at him saying, baby, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this one verse in Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, and I'm going to give you 2 weeks to study it. I want you to study every word. If you need to go to the pastor and get some Bible helps and commentaries or word studies, but I want you to write about this verse, and I want you to journal about it, and I want you to understand every word and every phrase of this one verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. And dad's going to do the same. And then on Thursday in 2 weeks, we're going to go out for supper. And we're going to sit down and we're going to share with each other what we have learned. Because this one passage here alone is a perfect checklist. And as you start walking through this perfect checklist, you can even write these things out and put it on the refrigerator. You'll find out that now the decisions are not whether or not they're upsetting dad or freaking out mom. Now they're choosing to obey or disobey God. Whatsoever things are true. Have you ever lied online? Dad, you look at your daughter and say, sweetheart, if I find out that you're spreading rumors, or you're lying about mom or dad, or gossiping, you have violated this one principle. Because my Bible still says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. And my Bible still says that when you lie, you're of your father, the devil. He abode not in the truth, okay? He's a liar. And I want you to understand that God hates lying. So if you use your phone or your computer to lie, you lose your privileges for 1 month. And after that, we'll re-talk about it and start again. How about this? Whatsoever things are honorable, have you dishonored your parents or God? It's easy to do sometimes, isn't it, teens? You ask to do something and parents say no, and they know what is best, and the Bible's very clear about obeying them quickly, sweetly, and completely, but just mom and dad, they don't understand. They're so old-fashioned, you can't ask them anything. Did you know that is sin? It is. And God commands to honor your father and your mother. Have you complained about God? Because if you do, once again, you will lose your phone privileges. You'll lose your media presence for 1 month. Whatsoever things are just. Have you been fair to friends by talking to them before talking to others? Do you ever wonder where our teenagers learn to gossip and attack other people? They got to learn it from somewhere. Do they learn it from us? Do we always see the cup half empty of everyone? Do we forget sometimes of the joys of people and their giftedness and how God is using them and just be thankful for the good things? We sometimes can be pretty unfair to our friends, can't we? It used to be in school you had to wait until recess or lunchtime to get with your friends and gossip, but now you just grab your phone underneath the desk and go for it. Whatsoever things are pure. Have you involved yourself in impure conversations? And I'm going to be very, very careful. We have a mixed audience. But my life is teens. And it's so easy for them to fall into the trap of impurity in what they say, and oftentimes even with the phone cameras. If you violate that, sweetheart, you have to understand that God wants us to be pure. And you might walk through 1 Thessalonians 4. You might go back and study some of the other passages and say, we want to honor God with this. So if you violate this with your phone, again, you lose your phone privileges. What sort of things are lovely? Have you been ugly or unkind to others? What sort of things are commendable? Have you kept a positive approach to life? What sort of things are excellent? Have you lost your spirit of excellence by giving in to sin? Whatsoever things are also praiseworthy to God, have you pleased God in what you say? Now, these are very, very simple questions. And now the difference is our kids are not, once again, being afraid of losing their phone or upsetting mom and dad. They're choosing to obey or disobey God. But then we better make sure that in our Facebook world, moms, we don't lose our Facebook privileges for a month either. And be willing to let even our kids be an example to us and help us with this. So again, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young. If we can go to the next slide, please. But be an example in love and a spirit of genuine concern for others rather than self. And I'm speaking more specifically on how you deal with selfishness in the digital world. And even there more, next one, please. Talking about, nope, go back, thank you. Is that you or me? I have no idea, Ben. Go to the next one, please. iTunes addicts and Xbox junkies. You know, it's kind of cool being a camp director, and I'm normally the friends of kids until we mention two things, their games and their music. And then for whatever reason, everybody kind of gets upset. So when you take this simple truth, what does God say? In lowliness of mind or humility, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things. Don't be selfish. But every man also on the things of others. So when I say plugged in or connected, that could be earbuds. That obviously could be your iPad. That could be on the big screen. That could be your Facebook. Just being connected somehow with the media. Does being plugged in and connected disconnect you from your family? Do you have to make rules at Thanksgiving dinner that everybody puts their phone away? I was in a restaurant, just sat down to eat, and I looked over and it looked like a mom and her three daughters came in and they plopped down, and I'm serious, they weren't there 10 seconds when two of the girls had their phones out and they were texting. The third one put the earbuds in and just started going like this with her music, and mom just kind of sat there. That's sad. We need to talk with our kids, okay? And if any of us allow these devices to interrupt our time with our family, does being plugged in or connected disconnect you from your God? Have you ever done a simple little time study? I dare you. Just do a time study for maybe 3 days and how much time you spend on your computer. And I'm not talking about you guys who go to work and have to use them there. I'm talking about your free time activities with your Facebook or with your Instagram, Snapchat, and so forth. And then do compare it with how much time you give to God. Time is a treasure. And most things that you look at on your little phone or iPad, you forget within 5 minutes. But building that relationship with God, wow. Does being plugged in or connected consume all your time for your family, friends, or God? If we truly want to attack the media world in a right way, we could almost just do it with time management. Because I think God's kind of getting pushed aside, especially in comparison with how much time we use. Finally, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for all believers in purity, integrity, and control over desires of the flesh. I'm speaking specifically here. How do you guard your purity in our digital world? The next passage, please. We talk about cell phones and blogs and Facebook and Snapchat and iTunes and game systems, Instagram, really any of it. And we understand that we are in a war right now for the purity of our young people. Dearly beloved, I beg you, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain. Stay as far away as you possibly can. Abstain from fleshly lust, which literally war against your soul. And I hope, Mom and Dad, you understand there is a war for the hearts of our kids. And we need to do everything we can. And teens, kids, when you happen to come on some stuff that you know displeases God, please just run to Mom, run to Dad. And dads, moms, you welcome them with a hug, okay? Don't freak out. They didn't ask to live in this world that we live in today. And we help as we walk through this. So with this in mind, there's certain questions we need to ask. Are you communicating with people you do not know? So if you have a child and you say, okay, we're going to work together on this Facebook thing, you set up the Facebook, say, hey, you get to have Facebook and you're allowed 10 friends. By the way, two of your top friends are Mom and I, okay? So you get 8 more. And that's it. We're going to be incredibly careful about not putting on pictures and so forth. And we're just going to walk very slow. And I want you to put down at least 3 times a week what God is teaching you from your devotions. So you set some parameters on how this can be used in a very, very special way. But with that in mind, no communication with people you do not know. No accepting friends with people you do not know. Because of this, are you accepting unsuitable friends that make you question your authorities or even your faith? All of us want our kids to stay pure, but you realize how many are out there to even talk them out of what you've been trying to teach them all these years? Oh, you go to a Baptist church, and I bet you believe there's a heaven and a hell. And that your God is the only one. And do you understand how that comes across to a 14-year-old kid? Again, parents, let's not get amnesia and forget what it was like to be 13 or 14 or 15. So we want to be very, very careful. The third thing, are you becoming more and more accepting of lewd and crude language? What is so acceptable in games, most television? It's sad. But because we hear it over and over and over, we don't make a big deal. Are you playing games that are full of nudity, crudity, and graphic violence, games you have to think sin in order to win? Mom and Dad, please. We may think it's just a game. What is the big deal? Do you realize what, like, we'll say Grand Theft Auto? I've never played it, but I understand. If you truly want to get to the end and win this thing, you got to break 6 or 7 of even the 10 commandments just to get there. You say, Rand, it's a game! I know. My Bible also says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And we begin habituating ourselves to making those kind of decisions, and then sin becomes absolutely no big deal anymore. Are you downloading any music that exalts music groups or musicians that love what God hates and hate what God loves? And these kind of questions we just have to ask and be upfront with each other. Are you viewing YouTube videos that are totally inappropriate? Keep going through here, please. Are you saying yes to the constant advertisements for porn sites? Have your cell phone become a tool for temptation? Are you struggling every day to keep your thoughts pure? If we allow our kids to get their devices and run to the rooms and shut the door, you might as well give them 2 or 3 snakes or scorpions along with it, okay? These questions, if you want to allow your kids to have these, need to be asked. Now, the issue is our kids do this thing about growing up and leaving home, So please, let's teach them to be biblical in the way that they handle this cell world, okay? As we look at this, next slide, please. God has much to say about our digital world. 1 Timothy 4, Romans 12, Ephesians 5, Philippians 4, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Peter 2. And every single one of these deal with specific issues that we face in communicating online. If you wanted to, we could start over tonight and go through it all again and go to Ephesians 5 and 1 Thessalonians 4 and Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. We could take the life of Joseph, etc., etc., etc. The Word of God is relevant. We got to teach our kids that our decisions are based on God's Word. So we prepare them that even when they leave our homes, that they make their decisions according to the Word of God. Beginning Friday night, we talked about the vision given to Ezekiel. We worked through a lot of meditation on medieval warfare through the book of Proverbs and so forth on Saturday. This morning, we dug into the Word of God and how can a young man stay pure in this impure world. And tonight, we see once again that the Word of God is totally relevant for all of us. But not if we don't know it. And not if we're not seeking biblical answers for the questions that our kids give us. If you remember nothing else from this weekend, nothing at all, my prayer would simply be that we would understand and love how wonderful and how precious the Word of God is. We're going to close this message actually with a song, but all I want you guys to do is listen. This song was written for the Wilds in New England, which I'm privileged to say your teams are going to come to this next summer. This is a song that it forces you to think about the preciousness of the Word of God, and it forces you to think about our wonderful, loving Heavenly Father. Abby and her mom, or is it your sister, whichever, Abby and her sister. I'm teasing there. Abby's going to sing, and I really want you to seriously concentrate on every word, okay? Because you'll find the Word of God in the song itself through every single passage. And our prayer is seriously, if we want our kids to stay pure, somehow, in some way, we've got to do everything we can to help them fall in love with the very words of God. All Scripture, every single word, it's God-inspired, God-breathed. It's profitable for your kids, mom and dad, to teach them what is right and teach them what is wrong, doctrine, reproof, how to make the wrong right and keep it right, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that your kids can be mature in God, completely, perfectly, truly furnished unto all good works. If you want to teach your kids how to love the Word of God, do this. Love the Word of God. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you that you remind us once again that it is relevant in this day as much as it was in the very day it was penned. That you're such a wise and a wonderful God that you've given us principles in your word that apply in so many different ways. Help us to be men and women of your word. The struggles we face, whether it be fear, anxiety, the pressures of lust and anger. We know that your word can totally clean our hearts, renew our minds, and transform our lives. So, Father, we can get, again, very mechanical in our walk with you and do our checklist of spending time with you. Please help us to be people of your word as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.